We've just talked to Jacqueline about the Writers World week that's coming up, and this Saturday you're doing a workshop on poetry.
That's right.
This is for beginners, for long-time poets. For who's it for?
It's for everybody. Anybody who wants to just have a play with poetry, writing poetry.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I'm really curious. My experience of poetry was at high school,
mm-hmm.
where it really wasn't successful in converting me to have an interest in poetry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And I'm sure you've heard that probably a lot from people.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
I mean, my experience was similar.
Right.
I was really put off poetry in high school.
Right. Okay. That's interesting that you had the experience too.
Yeah. I mean, I just found it, I just wasn't exposed to the kind of poetry that I was interested in then. And I kind of got the impression that poetry was all about these complicated rules and techniques and things.
Yes, right.
And it wasn't until later on that I realised that poetry could be actually something that was really fun and had anything to do with me.
Right.
And something that I was interested in. Yeah.
I don't think I really understood it until I saw Michael Moore performing here in the Town Hall a few years ago.
Right.
And then I was like, oh.
Yeah.
This is what it can do.
Yeah.
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 So with that background, how do you teach poetry?
Well, I mean, it depends where people are at, I guess. But often I think that teaching poetry or teaching any kind of creative form to adults requires some sort of excavation or reconnection with a creative spark, which has for a lot of people has been disconnected or damaged in some way,
right,
either through schooling or just, you know, the beliefs that we have about ourselves, like, I can't do that, I'm not a poet, I'm not an artist.
I'm not a creative person.
Not a creative person.
Yeah.
Like, we all kind of...
Is that ever true?
Is it ever true? Well, I think that we're all artists. It's kind of, it's really the nature of who we are as creative beings, as humans. Some people certainly are more drawn to the arts than others and are more inclined to do it. But I think if you have an interest and an inclination, and especially if I think you appreciate the arts, then I would say you're an artist.
So back to the question, how do you teach? You've got to excavate, you've got to reconnect people. Is it easier to teach younger people?
Is it easier to teach younger people? It depends. It depends on the interest, I think. And I think
True. That half the problem with school was that we didn't. A lot of us, that's not what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
Anyway. So
yeah.
Whereas at least this case, there'll be a self-selected group of people who are interested.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's just about finding your own way and finding a poet. You know, if there's a poet who really speaks to you and really excites you, or some way in that is exciting, then you go from there. Yeah.
So we keep hearing, I don't know, it must be something about popular culture or movies, like there's constant references to old poets from past generations.
Mm.
Like who are some poets now that you're paying attention to?
I hate this question.
But it's really easy because I don't know anyone, so you can like say anything to me and I'll be like, oh, good.
I hate this question because, I mean, there's poets that I really love and I always feel put on the spot because I'm like, oh, there's so many. And also, there's so many different ways in. I feel like if you want me to answer that question, come to my workshop and come in because I'll be sharing some poets.
Okay. What about, let's narrow the question down a bit. Are there poets that are serving as an inspiration for you or that you've learned from? And taken things from,
yeah,
for your own work.
Yes, I mean a book that I just returned to recently was a book by Annalise Gellman. She's a poet from the States, and I really enjoy her work. She kind of writes more for the page, but then there's other poets who really inspire me in their kind of physical presence and physical performance, like Carlo Miller is a New Zealand poet, and she's amazing as a performer. So I don't know, there's a lot.
Where do you go to see poetry performed in this country?
Well, that's a good question. I mean,
it's a bit of a problem, perhaps.
I mean, I live in Raglan and I have young children, so I don't get to go to many live performances myself. But
is there, I mean, like, we all know we can go and watch a band somewhere.
Yeah, that's
right. And we know we can go and see comedy.
I mean, a great place to go if you want to see poets perform is, like, go to a writer's festival. Like, the Verb Festival in Wellington, it's really cool. Like, you know, there's lots of great poetry performances there. You know, go to one of the cities. Most cities have, like, an open mic thing where they have a featured poet who comes along and shares poems.
Does their thing. In fact, that's what, there was a thing called Word Cafe, I think, that was here like 10 years ago. Yeah, they did it for 3 different years.
I mean,
years.
It would be great if we had more regular things happening here in Raglan.
Yeah, well, we do. There's a lot of writer stuff happening at the moment. Yeah. Although this is more along the learning and almost, this is what's happening this year is almost like infrastructure for writing that's been created by the old school. I guess you
could,
I think that's as good a word as any, like groups for people to meet in workshops and competitions. And
yeah. And I mean, there's so much online as well. Like you can access so much good poetry if you, if you know where to look.
Is poetry better read or heard?
I think both. I think there are some, this isn't true of all poets, but I think that some poems are better made, they're made for the page, whereas some are really made to be read aloud.
Okay.
And some are great in both forms.
So here's a really basic question for people who are used to cramming when they read, trying to read as fast as possible to get through all the information they have to get through. What should they do differently when they read a poem? Because that's a really bad way to read a poem. To race through it?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think reading poetry is a lot like listening to music. It's like you can kind of read it in a kind of background, peripheral way and just catch little pieces of it and, let yourself be inspired by a word or a line. Or you can do a really deep reading and, really dive into something. And
see, I think I must have got that from school too. There's a right way and a wrong way to read poetry, and if I'm not getting something from it, that's my fault.
Mm.
But maybe it's just like a song that doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, I think that some poems aren't meant to be understood in the way that we think we need to understand them. So sometimes it is just about appreciating the shape of the words or the sound or the lyricism or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or a little image that particularly captures you. It doesn't have to be. It's not like you either understand it or you don't.
Yeah. I remember sixth form or seventh form, the teacher, we were given these books of poetry and we had to find a poem that we liked, and me and this other boy chose these two line poems.
Mm-hmm.
and it looks like a cop out, and it possibly was, but also that was enough there was enough imagery in that for me to, like, I wondered if that's what was a lot of why I was not accessing poetry very well, is because it was just too much imagery and it was just overloading me.
Mm.
And just a two line poem was enough.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to call you the poetry expert because you probably don't like that phrase, but is there something in that?
I mean, I think that's really one of the amazing powers of poetry, is that so much can be contained in one little line, one little image. It can stand for so much.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes it so enjoyable to read, and also what can make it really fun to write is finding those really potent symbols that can hold a whole world inside them.
Yeah. Do you need to understand the culture around you to be able to get those? Like, you're talking about symbols, like they're words that are symbolic, like they create a piece of imagery. You must have to be tapped into the culture for other people to understand it.
Yes and no. I mean, again, I think it's like you can appreciate, you can get something from it, even if you don't entirely understand the context that it comes from. And it can add so much to learn about the context.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so you can access the culture through the poetry rather than the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something you've had to think about before. When you're writing, does it come out, does it all just come out, flow out, and that's it, you've got your poem? Or do you come back and edit it? Like someone who's writing an article, say for a magazine, will come back and edit it, and a book will get edited, a novel will get edited. But does it work like that with poetry?
Yes.
And refined, it gets refined?
Definitely, yeah. Yep. I love editing. Editing is like, yeah, it's really become a very enjoyable part of the process for me. It's really, really become a form of play in itself. I think I used to be more like something would come out and I would be very kind of attached to the form that it was in and not want to change it and maybe just fiddle around with a few lines or change a word or two, put in a, you know, a little piece of punctuation. But now my process has become a lot more fluid and I really try to pull something apart and put it back together in as many different formations as I can. And that, I think, has made my poetry a lot better, that process.
So when you look back at some poems you might have done 10, 15, 20 years ago, what do you look back at that and how do you feel about it when you read them?
I tend to avoid reading them.
You tend to avoid reading them.
I have a massive, you know, some boxes of writing that I've done that I think, one day I might get back to them, but equally I might just burn it all.
The reason I asked this question is because I'm not a writer, but I have written things, and there was something I wrote 20 years ago that I was really pleased with and I worked really hard on and I got lots of comments on and I just thought it was as good as I could have done. And then I just saw it the other day and I was like, oh dear, it's really not so good. I was trying to lead the audience way too much.
Right.
Trying to lecture them as well rather than a softer approach. And I was, And that was the best I could have done then. And now I look at it and just think, oh, that's really not very good.
Mm. I think it can go both ways though. Like sometimes you read something that you wrote and think, wow, did I really write that? Like, and it has things in it that I didn't even realize were there. As I was writing it, if you kind of enter into that real like free-flowing imaginal space, like sometimes things arrive that you don't really make sense at the time, and then later on hold a different kind of significance.
That's when you know when you're in that zone where it's just coming through.
Yeah, I think that like when I'm teaching writing, I really try to separate out those two phases. One being the phase where you're really letting things come and kind of removing all of the blocks to that free-flowing river of inspiration. And then the second part being returning and editing and refining. Because if you start trying to edit while you're writing, that can cause problems in terms of not really getting to the heart of what it is that you're actually trying to say.
I remember reading something by, I think it was the author of Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. Have you heard of that book?
Mm-hmm.
And he said in later years he felt like he could have gone back and rewritten it. It was something that captured people's imagination, captured people's attention. And as a writer, he knew he could have written it better, but he was scared to go back and change it at all in case it lost that thing that it had that captured people, and he couldn't really define what that was.
Yeah. And I think that's really something that I've experienced as well. Sometimes, like, when something first comes through, and when I look at some of the things that I wrote, like, in my early 20s, I feel like there's, like, a real vibrancy that's there. And I don't know, authenticity or something, and that if you go back and like edit and rework it too much, it can lose that. Or sometimes it is worth it to kind of go back, edit, and then realize actually it was the best version.
It was okay the first time.
Version was probably there.
Yeah. Actually, here's a question I can ask. This is a question I can ask you safely. I often wonder about, you look at music, and I know that's not the same thing as poetry, but I've been thinking about this a lot lately. There's musicians and they're famous and their music captures the zeitgeist and it just goes all around the world. Like the Beatles is the most obvious example of that. But even Paul McCartney is not writing music that captures the zeitgeist once he got past kind of 40.
Mm-hmm.
And is there something about just the human condition or human nature that our creativity changes, or we've said what we came to say already by that point? Or is it that purely just about capturing the zeitgeist is not that important anyway? Like, I don't know, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, do I have thoughts on that? It's a very interesting question. I don't think it's related to age necessarily.
Mm.
Definitely not. Like, it's not just about a moment in your life and then it's over when you had something important to say.
Yeah.
'Cause I think that things can come through for people much later in life. I feel like there definitely is something to that sense of like when you enter into a creative stream that you're, and particularly when you're doing that with the purpose of sharing it, like not just writing for yourself in your own journal.
Yeah.
Like when you're writing as a form of service in a way, or at least a form of communication, then things can come through and be powerful that are much bigger than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's, and with music, it's so easy to measure that as well,
because
everybody knows when something's big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or was that what poetry was like before recorded music, do you think?
Maybe.
I don't know the history. I wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely noticed, like, in teaching workshops, like the shift that happens for people when they realize that they are writing and that what they're writing will be witnessed. I think that's like a really powerful practice, is to write in company and share.
Yeah.
Because it means that it kind of brings a particular kind of potency to the words that come out, because they're not just they're not private anymore.
Yeah.
So there's more potential for something actually juicy and...
It brings a different focus.
Mm.
I think it's like the difference between a live interview and a pre-recorded interview.
Right.
The liveness does something.
Yeah.
It makes some people terribly nervous, and I try to help with that. But yeah, there is something that happens from the liveness of it.
Yeah, yeah.
That I can't explain, but it feels different.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about, we were talking about music, the difference between lyrics and poetry. Because a lot of, when we're young especially, like, we actually do pay attention to the lyrics of our favourite songs.
Yeah.
And it might be the closest thing we get at that age.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily... Sometimes some lyrics seem like poetry and others don't.
What makes you think that? What makes them more like poetry?
I don't think I could give you a very wise answer to that.
Right. I'm just curious because, it speaks to what your perception of poetry is.
I guess there's a level of complexity.
Right.
You know, like some lyrics, you're repeating lines over and over again, and that makes sense with the music. But that's a very superficial understanding of poetry, right? That it's more complex than lyrics. That's why I'm kind of embarrassed to say it.
Well, no, I mean, I think it's a really good inquiry, because it's like, what does make poetry? What is a poem? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And I think that it's really, all the things that we think a poem is can get in the way of us actually writing poetry or exploring that as a form. You know, if you think it has to be rhyming or a particular level of complexity or use particular techniques or whatever, then it might stop you from actually appreciating something as a poem.
So do you choose when you're making a new poem? Are you like, okay, this one's going to be rhyming, or this one's going to use this pattern, or it's probably not the first thing you think about, I imagine.
No, it's not. But I feel like it can be really worthwhile, once I'm in the editing playing phase, to try putting a poem into different forms and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it can, something new is often revealed in that process.
Yeah. So for people who might be, might think, oh, I'm just not a creative person. I've always wanted to try it, but I'm just not a creative person. Can you help people get in touch with the creativity?
Yeah.
There's a loosening up that's required, maybe.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And a willingness to play, I think.
Yeah.
Is really what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to break rules.
Yeah.
That's probably self-imposed.
Yeah, and to not hold too tightly to what the purpose of it is. Because I think if we kind of get fixated on writing poetry is about making the perfect poem, which, that's quite a satisfying thing to focus on. But it also I feel like it's an equally worthwhile orientation to go, I just want to have a play with this form, have a play with words and see what happens. See what comes out if I let myself write something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
D- do oh, this is a very controversial question, maybe slightly controversial. Do people need to do something like maybe have a drink or something like that to loosen up?
Well, I think it's, I mean, it's a good point, because I think that, like, yeah, our inhibitions do get in the way.
Yeah.
And so we do need to find ways to loosen up. And maybe for some people that's having a drink. I won't be offering alcohol in my workshop, sorry to
You'd
say.
You'd have to get a license. I don't think there's a license at the old school. It might be possible.
But I think that, but I would definitely be doing some things which are intended to make bring people into a sense of relaxation and comfort, yeah, and feeling like they are in a space where they can enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember reading this book by an author called Derek Jensen about writing, and he taught writing classes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his things was, it's kind of a guide that you have to have something, you have to have an experience to write about.
Mm-hmm.
So part of his writing classes were, it was like a term long thing,
mm-hmm,
was to go out and have an experience that people had never had before and then come and write about that.
Interesting.
Which I always liked.
Yeah.
And he had people like, I remember now, he had like, there was a retired police officer. And so he went and joined a protest,
mm-hmm,
which he'd never done before, and discovered he quite enjoyed it.
Sounds great.
Yeah, yeah. So that, yeah, is that a thing? Does poetry need to be based on an experience? It must be, yeah. Can you answer that?
Does it need to be based on experience? I mean, we've all had experiences. I think it's really about an orientation of kind of bringing a fresh eyes to your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I really like the idea of intentionally going and having a different experience.
Yeah.
But we're all having interesting experiences all the time.
Yeah. And even if we're not, if life is such a grind, then that's still something you can write a poem about.
Totally. And I think the thing is with poetry, like, it's really one of the things that makes a poem come alive is like having really kind of rich sensory detail.
Yeah.
And I think that whatever experience we're having, if we can come into contact with the sensory detail, it makes the experience rich, even if it's an incredibly dull event.
So what? Can you give us an example of a sensory detail? Like,
well, I mean, I'm just looking at these microphones that we're speaking into. I'm not saying we're having a dull experience right now, but like,
well, there'd be nobody left listening if that's the case.
But I mean, these are kind of interesting. Like, what do you notice about these?
Yeah, they're almost slightly offensive with the red microphone socks on them.
Uh-huh.
I usually try to actually put more muted colours on them, because sometimes people are, like, you were sitting there and I grabbed the mic and kind of shoved it in your face a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, so yeah, that big red end of the microphone. Yeah. We're going to get in trouble here. Yeah, what would you do with this?
What would I do with this? In a poem? I mean, it's like spongy, it's quite weird shaped. I don't know. I feel like there must be a poem in it though.
Okay.
Should we write a poem?
Can we do that? Now we've got 2 minutes.
Oh, we've got 2 minutes.
Can you do speed poetry? Is that a thing?
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
We need a pen.
You want to? You're actually going to, you can scribble on the notes there.
I'm only doing it if you're doing it with me.
Oh, well, no. That's a different headspace. Like, I'm in my interview headspace,
uh-huh,
and my brain's like scanning for other things that I've got to talk about, and also trying to listen to what you're saying and checking the levels on the monitor over there. I don't think I can fit a poem in as well into my head right now.
Okay, so the next words you speak are a poem.
Oh, no. Write them down. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
That's my poem.
That's my poem.
Yeah. No, okay, so you know what's happening now is I'm scared that I'm going to be vulnerable and reveal something. I don't want to do that on the radio. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Carry on.
Well, not that, so I'm stopping.
I'm stopping.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's a beautiful poem. I didn't record everything. Oh, no. That's my poem. No, okay. I'm scared that I'm going to be... I missed that part.
Oh, that was about, I'm going to be vulnerable and reveal something about myself that I don't want to reveal on the radio.
Mm.
Yeah. There's definitely something in that, isn't there?
Yeah. I think that's the beginnings of a poem.
And also, I think you could also say, I'm scared, I'm worried about dead air. I think that's a good line to end the poem on.
I'm worried about dead air. Maybe that's the title.
Yeah. There we go, folks. This is might be what happens at the workshop that Rada Gordon is going to be doing this Saturday, is it?
That's right. This Saturday, 10 till 1 at the Old School.
Are you the poster's there? Does it say on there? It'll be the first one. It doesn't even say it on there, but you're pretty confident it's at the Old School. You should know.
Yes, I do know. It is at the Old School.
You just hesitated when you said it, so I was a bit worried.
Yeah, no, it is at the Old School.
And I wasn't confident.
And the I didn't really talk about it before, but the
competition. Yeah, just go for it. Just keep talking. It's awkward.
The theme of the workshop is poetic pleasure. So it's really about finding the joy in writing poetry and finding your pleasure through poetry. So it's all about fun.
Really. Do they have to? Will they have to read it out at the end?
You definitely do not have to.
No. Okay,
you can keep it to yourself, but you may want to.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's good. I just wanted to that little fear that came over me then that
I really put you on the spot there.
Yeah, it's quite funny though.
It was quite terrifying.
It's good radio. Don't worry.
I think it's really the sound of a good poem. If you come to the workshop,
yeah, it could do with a bit of editing, but otherwise,
there might be
good.
Something else that comes out.
Yeah, yeah. If people want to check out your work, have you got a website or anything like that?
Yes, I do. My website is www.ratagordon.com.
And it's Rata like the tree, spelled like that.
That's right.
Yeah. Are you named after?
I am.
You are. There we go. All right. Hey, look, thanks for coming in this morning. It's been a really interesting chat.